It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal, to help you score more fantasy points.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the conference final version and edition of the Matchup Points live stream here at Fantasy Points. Well, I wanted to start while you're doing that and give you some breaking news a little bit. You're working on the draft guide for the website here for 2021, which we rolled out free last year. We threw people a bone with that. We've actually already gotten orders on it, Greg, a good number.
Really?
So far, but
so my agent will be getting in touch with you, John.
Yes, right. but the news is that we're actually working on an app for the draft guide.
Wow, really?
App store and everything. Yep.
Wow.
So, hey, will it be on Android though?
Yeah.
Wow. It
better be.
I believe so. Yeah. And we're talking not a web app, we're talking like in the app store, download, you know, all that. So, I don't want to say too much more about it just in case we hit a snag, but anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there to Greg. Pretty exciting stuff here, and we shall wait for that probably March sometime. So let's get to it here. The biggest Sunday on the calendar, arguably, although Super Bowl Sunday, kind of big, but Tampa at Green Bay, and Adam, we'll start with the injuries here. Yep. as Greg kind of wraps up here. AB.
I am wrapped.
Okay, he's all wrapped up here. What do we got here in terms of Antonio Brown and, you know, Ronald Jones? These guys are limited, but AB, I guess, is a big one for Tampa.
Yeah, look, they actually don't know that he's playing, but they're going to let him play if he doesn't practice. They want him whatever he can give. You saw last week how he was unable to finish the game. We know they've got multiple guys who could play the slot, whether it's Goddard or Miller, so they'll be okay there. You know, Cameron Brate, and Greg asked, he did not play receiver, by the way, at Harvard. He wasn't.
Oh, he did not?
No, I checked into that because, as you said, Greg, and I agree, he moves so well.
He does.
My question is this, and Greg, you're the best guy to ask this question to. From a vertical standpoint, had they used him on vertical routes before this season?
Oh, yeah, because Winston loved him.
Mostly a red zone guy in terms of.
Yeah, Winston loved him. But, you know, just to play off what you're saying, because I know when we do this, it's kind of informal.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be fascinating to see what the Bucs choose to do offensively, even if Brown is healthy and can go, because one thing we know about Mike Pettine, the D coordinator for the Packers, is he does not really want to play out of his base defense.
Yeah,
they've played more snaps of dime than any team in the NFL by a wide margin, and he wants to play in either nickel or dime. So if you line up with Gronk and Brate in 12 personnel, what will Pettine do? Will he stay in nickel or dime? There were snaps in the first matchup week 6, by the way, in which Pettine was in dime versus 12 personnel with Brate and Gronkowski on the field. So we do have a track record of that from this season. So, John, I think that's an interesting question. We don't know the answer to it, but it's an interesting question in this matchup.
We saw something similar play out right with the Rams in the Rams game, right? They came out in the 12 personnel and then the Packers adjusted and then the Rams adjusted to their adjustment, right? By going with 11 personnel and all that.
Yeah. You know, you get into, and that's the other factor is what kind of adjustments get made throughout the course of a game. But we know they've played dime on almost 50% of their defensive snaps this year. That is a high percentage of dime.
And also going back, and we're just, again, it's a little informal, just spitballing, but you know, Tampa did win with their running game and their defense, and the weakness for Green Bay's defense clearly is their run defense. And in my opinion, Greg, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like the two corners and the secondary is playing pretty darn well. So that's my expectation, that Tampa comes out and tries to run the ball here. Bad weather game as well.
Yeah, what is the weather, Mr. Kaplan? Is it supposed to be just cold, or is it supposed to be snowy?
They could have some snow showers. I'll update.
Well, that's not a big issue, but I don't think it's supposed to be bitter cold.
No.
That'll be interesting, John. You raise an interesting point as to, you know, we saw Ronald Jones played last week, and you saw immediately the difference between Jones and Fournette. Jones has some juice. Fournette does not. And I'm just telling you what the tape shows, and I think it's pretty evident.
Sure.
So we saw that immediately. So it'll be interesting to see if Jones ends up being a little more of the feature back in this game than Fournette. Because quite honestly,
I thought a couple things.
Go ahead.
On that, he's still not ready with his quadriceps, so I would be surprised if he becomes the guy.
He did say he was feeling better this week than last.
Yeah.
He did have 13 still, rushes.
But what
last
happens?
Week.
It catches him, John. It catches him.
Oh, it caught him on that long run.
Yeah, that's the thing that they're concerned about. But he clearly shows he can play. It's going to be in the high 20s. Wind doesn't look too bad. Precipitation less than 12%.
This is not weather won't be an issue.
Shouldn't be.
Not really. But yeah, I think Tampa is certainly looking a little bit more balanced. But certainly Mike Evans. We'll see about AB. But based on how Green Bay plays, Greg, their coverages and the like, they play a lot of zone. Obviously, Brady, you know, probably prefers zone here. So in terms of that matchup in the passing game, we know they're not going to travel. Jair Alexander, King and Alexander play on the side. But, you know, coverage-wise, how Green Bay plays, how does that match up with Brady and the Bucs passing?
Green Bay plays a lot of different coverages there. And, in fact, I have that information. And I'm going to tell you right now, Green Bay – they play predominantly it's interesting. They do play cover one. That's their highest percentage coverage, but they do play a lot of cover two. They play a lot of cover four, and they play a lot of cover three. So when all said and done, they play far more zone than man, but they're multiple with their coverage concept. It's not just, you know, they're not a team you say, oh, they play this and that's it. They play more man than zone, more zone than man, but they will play cover one.
But they don't match up anybody.
They do not match up. Jerry Alexander plays left corner. Kevin King plays right corner. That's what they do.
Gotcha. Injury-wise here for Green Bay, Adam, they're pretty healthy here. There's a couple of dudes.
Yeah, the only one is that Kingsley Keke of D-tackle has got the concussion, but he's working. He just needs to get cleared. A.J. Dillon, you know, has kind of come on here a little bit. He's got the quadriceps injury, which you saw him in the last game. But that's it, man. They're coming in. They're going to have everyone other than the Keke kid. We'll see if he gets
cleared. Keep one thing in mind. We know that the Bucs throughout most of the year defended the run effectively, but the Saints ran pretty well last week. Kamara ran pretty well. Yeah. And keep in mind, too, that the Bucs, this past week, if you don't count the kneel downs at the end of the game, they had 37 called passes and 32 called runs, which in today's NFL is major balance.
They do
want to run the football. They're not, you know, they're going to throw it. Obviously, I'm not saying they're not going to throw it, but they are not going to come out. It's not a throw ball game for the Packers because so much of what they do in the pass game works off their run concepts. They're going to attempt to run the football.
Let me add a couple things here. Lazard, for the first time in 3 months, is not listed with a core muscle surgery. So he's over that. But he now has a back issue. Vita Vea is going to play barring a setback. He's been out for 3 months with a broken ankle, but he's looked good enough to play. They've got till Saturday to activate him. Right now it looks like they're going to activate him. Godwin's got a minor quadriceps injury. He's expected to play. But
Lazard's going to play.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know that the good thing is he's for fantasy, if you're playing in a daily and looking for a guy who's not going to cost you a lot of money because he's been limited by this damn injury. Last week, how good did he look? I mean, he looked like he can move now.
And let's all, you know, obviously these teams played week six and we know what the Bucs did. And I think while both teams will look at that game closely, it will not be a repeat of that game. I'm not suggesting the Bucs won't try to pressure Rodgers and they won't try to do some of the things they did, but it will not play out the same way. Clearly, we know that it's not going to be a blowout by the Bucs. They're not going to dominate Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense. Keep one thing in mind. The Bucs play more cover four than any team in the NFL. And Rodgers is so good recognizing coverage. The touchdown he threw to Lazard last week against the Rams, and the Rams play a lot of cover four as well, he recognized the coverage pre-snap. You could actually even hear him yell at the line of scrimmage. He turned his head and went, ow. And you knew immediately by saying that Lazard knew exactly what route to run because they got the coverage they wanted.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers, he talked this week about how great of a place he's been mentally. I don't know if you see that on the tape, but it just
he's playing at a really high level.
Mentally and physically sharp. I mean, complete unison, mentally and physically, Aaron Rodgers in this offense in year number two. Bouncing around again, but when they do go man to man in Tampa, that would be Carlton Davis likely.
Yes, he did match up to Adams week six, and he'd be the one to do that again.
Yeah. What do you think of that matchup? Not a bad one, but Adams beats everyone.
I think that Davante Adams can beat anybody the way he's been playing this year. So yeah. I'm not saying that Davis is a bad player. I just don't think that would impact anything the Packers do. What the Packers have transformed into in the second year under LaFleur is, and I think Rodgers would probably even say this. I mean, I don't know Aaron Rodgers. And amazingly enough, in all my years at NFL Films, he's one of the few quarterbacks I've not interviewed who's played in the league a long time.
Yeah.
But I think Rodgers would probably admit that this offense is a very good mix of being highly schemed with progression reads and also having matchups that you can exploit. So in other words, if he sees a matchup that he feels good about, he'll go after it. But it's also a very highly schemed progression reading offense that he's now clearly very comfortable in.
I mean, is LaFleur a little fortunate that he plays with an all-time great? Because it does seem like at the end of the day, you know, Rodgers just being so gifted and, you know, physically gifted is really, I mean, I guess that's the key for anything. But so you're saying, I kind of felt like LaFleur and everyone there running the offense, again, have been very fortunate, but you're saying it's above and beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's at a high level. Look, I remember having this conversation years ago with Phil Simms, and I never forgot it. He said, you hope as a quarterback that you can reach the point in your career where you've not lost your physical tools, because as you keep playing more and more, you are aware of everything going on the field, and you just hope that you haven't lost your physical tools when that truly happens, and you just, nothing phases you at all. Rodgers is at that point. He's not lost his physical tools at all, and he's smart as a whip, and there's nothing that goes on out there that he's not aware of.
Exactly. It's just like Drew Brees the last 2 years has kind of won mentally more than physically.
But he can't do it physically anymore.
Can't exactly. Will it anymore. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. And Rodgers, but, you know, again, just spitballing here, but I mean, I see no drop off from Aaron Rodgers from like 6 years ago. It's crazy.
The way he throws a football, absolutely.
Everything.
And they're taking shot plays. You saw last week, Lazard caught the 58 yarder. Now, did he drop that one? The other one? Was it him who dropped the other one? The bomb? Would have been for like 80 yards?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So they're taking shot plays, which is great.
Well, that's what my point is. When Rodgers sees coverage, the Lazard one was a function of coverage, not a matchup per se, but also when he sees a matchup, a one-on-one matchup, he'll go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but last week, you know, sometimes, again, you're better off being lucky than good, because I really thought Aaron Jones would have a big game, and, you know, he kind of did, but I thought he'd get a little bit more of a commitment. But, again, it's, you know, 17 weeks, 17 games, and, you know, we see a pattern here. They don't give the Aaron Jones a ton of carries, but you also liked Jamal Williams last
Jamal
week.
Jamal Williams is exactly what I thought he'd be coming out of BYU. You know, I thought he actually had ability that if a team wanted him to be a quote unquote feature back, that he possibly could have been. But in this offense, he's the grinder. I mean, he runs so hard inside. He's the master of sustaining their offense. And now you have Jones, who, I mean, we looked at Jones hard this week for the matchup show, and he gets a lot of long runs. I mean, you know, relative to he gets 50, 60 yard runs.
Lately, yeah. And thank God for that, because he doesn't get enough carries otherwise, because I've liked him like three or four times.
No question, John. And obviously, you know, that's by choice by the Packers. They feel like they had two backs. Look, they had two backs they felt really good about, and they drafted A.J. Dillon. Was that the second round, Adam?
Yes, second.
That was their first pick, too.
Second
pick after.
I mean, you know how they feel about the run game. You don't have Jones and Williams on your roster and draft a back in the second round unless you are committed.
Once he got up to speed, you saw the one game where he was featured. My goodness gracious.
That was against Tennessee, and he dominated.
I know. For a big guy, this guy, he moves a little bit better.
He has light feet for a big man.
Yeah.
Well, you know my theory from a month ago, like they want a little thunder and lightning. Let's say they bring Jones back. I think I could compare it to Kamara and Ingram in New Orleans with Jones playing the Kamara role.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, I know, and you'll reassess for fantasy this offseason, obviously, if that's the way it plays out, because I know coming into this season, you thought Jones would be a little more of a true foundation back mm-hmm. in terms of number of carries, but they clearly don't see him that way.
Yeah, no, I'm going to pull up my, I actually have the file here somewhere real close to me, like what number of, I was cognizant of this, and I gave him a lower number of carries, and he still was under that. But while I'm looking that up,
but he's explosive as hell, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
He really is. I wish he'd get the ball more, but I would expect that Williams won't come back next year. That's just, right.
Is his contract up?
Yeah, it is. So is Jones.
Jones and Williams are up. Jones is special. Williams is
going to come. They'll sign Jones.
Right. So I think it'll be the Jones-Dillon show. I love that one. It's got to be it.
I think that's what they thought when they drafted Dillon.
Yeah.
Yep. And it'll probably lengthen Jones's career.
It's just honestly. Like, Adam, you told us about Dobbins and Ingram. They released Ingram because they did exactly.
I told you that
was the plan.
A month ago. Yeah. That one was coming.
Yeah.
We're not doing Baltimore now, but I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to be fascinated to see how they use him next year with Gus Edwards. You know, what the rotation is.
I had a great conversation with an offensive coach who's been in the league 20 plus years on Monday. And he told me that unless they change their offense, this is what they will be. That you cannot win without throwing the ball.
And they don't want to throw.
They're telling you how they want to play by how they play.
One of the receivers started piping off about it.
Yeah.
I wish I had, you know, John, I'm going to send you the quote. I was very surprised with this one receiver spoke out.
Threw Lamar into the bus a little bit?
Not really. He wasn't trying to, just that they got to throw the football. It's getting ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But see, we don't want to spend too much time in Baltimore, but the fact is they're telling you how they want to play. By choice, they're not throwing the ball. That's their choice.
But I do want to see if we could have a somewhat normal offseason.
And we may not. It may certainly the first 2-3 months of the offseason will still be a pandemic offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, guys. Aaron Jones in 2019 had 19 total touchdowns and 236 carries and 49 grabs. I projected him to have 215 carries. He had 201. Pretty close. Yeah. I had him with 1,000 yards. He had 1,104. I had him with 9 rushing touchdowns. He had 9 rushing touchdowns. I had him with 50 catches. He had 47. And I had him with 2 receiving touchdowns. He had 2 receiving touchdowns.
So, John, you were right on the money. So he wasn't any different than you thought, really.
Not really. Honestly, the only difference was I had him with 14 more carries, and I had him.
Yeah, but that's not a meaningful amount. That's one carry a game, John.
Totally nailed it then, Greg. I mean,
you did. So you were whining all season about them not using Aaron Jones when in fact you nailed it. So what were you whining about, John?
I knew it was happening. I was complaining about it as it happened. I knew it was going to happen, but yeah. All right. What about the Vita Vea return and the pass rush? I mean, it doesn't feel like the Buck pass rush has been particularly dominant down the stretch. In terms of like,
you want me to answer that or Adam?
No, you, Greg. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, to me, they're an odd defense. Their numbers are not bad, but I think they're a defense you can move the ball against. You know, and so they're a defense. In all honesty, I've struggled with down the stretch in terms of evaluating them and trying to figure out what they are. You know, they certainly have players in any given game that can be dominant as a pass rusher, Barrett, Pierre Paul. You know, they could have a big – and look, they're playing against Billy Turner at left tackle. You know, and while I don't think he's done a bad job by any means, he certainly can be beatable. Rodgers will know – see, that's the other thing about being a veteran quarterback is people think in terms of just the pass game and the receivers – it's also understanding the strengths and weaknesses of your offensive line. That's something I learned very early on from Ron Jaworski. He said that Dick Vermeil every Saturday night would have an individual meeting with Jaws separate from the offense. And he would tell Jaws all about the protection and the protection calls in which particular individuals would be one-on-one, and that it would on those particular play calls, it would be a concern, and only Jaws needed to know that. And Rodgers is so good at understanding those kinds of things that, you know, he's aware that, hey, okay, on this play call, Billy Turner is going to be one-on-one with Pierre Paul or Barrett. got to be aware of that, you know. So they do have pretty good players. And again, you talk about David and White. That's where the run game's interesting as well. We spent a lot of time now talking about the run game. You have to get those guys blocked because they are really fast and explosive athletes at the second level.
I feel the same way this week as I did last week, honestly. I mean, we love fantasy, but, man, fewer teams playing, better teams, better defenses. It's not easy for me to wrap my head around this one. You know, we know what happened in the first meeting. It was nasty for Rodgers, but we also know that he's brilliant right now. But no Bakhtiari is a little bit of a concern. The Tampa run D has been very good all year, so maybe they don't dominate on the ground. And really, Greg, at the end of the day, I'm still struggling with Tampa's D. I still don't know what they are.
Right.
You know,
and that's what I just said. I struggle with it as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And Murphy Bunting's done a nice job in the slot for them. He's a player I like coming out of college 2 years ago. We just talked about their linebackers. They don't have bad players. I feel like they're a beatable defense, though.
Yeah, yeah. I like Tonyan in the game. I'll say that. They have been bad against tight ends here, which is a little weird considering they're linebackers. Anything else here to throw out? Any other pearls of wisdom before we
move on? Well, we didn't mention Brady, who I know the numbers weren't big last week, but I still think he's throwing the ball really well. I mean, and he's used to playing in, 25-degree weather. That's not going to be an issue for him.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, and again, if they're zone heavy, I mean, Brady loves zone, right? I mean, you got to prefer zone with Brady in general.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Brady's confused by much, question is, the matchups, and they're not pure man matchups, but, obviously Godwin, Evans is really good. As I mentioned when we started, I'm so curious to see what Tampa does from a personnel grouping standpoint, because I think you're going to see them in two tight ends a good amount early, just to feel out the Packers defense.
Well, Brate has absolutely been a factor.
Oh, big factor.
Big time.
Yep.
And this kind of started about a month ago, and Gronk people, it's hard to back Gronk, Brate.
Actually, he still throws it to Gronk, though, when he gets man. When he gets man, he looks for Gronk.
He does. He does. All right. We can move on. Oh, one other real quick on Brady. Like the old pressure Brady with four. How do you see that?
Okay, well, it's a good point to bring up. I think when you get to third down and they're in, and the Packers are in dime, and obviously there's third down in every game, John, I think what you're going to see is that five across front. And I think they're going to put Za'Darius Smith inside because they do that a lot. And I think they're going to want him to work on either the center or either of the guards. Because I think they're going to feel with Kappa out with the broken ankle, I think they're going to feel like they can win some one-on-ones. Because when you get that five across defensive front, it pretty much dictates one-on-one pass protection. So you're going to see that on third down.
What was the pressure, Greg, from your tape study? How did Stinney do? Did you notice Aaron Stinney?
I thought he had a very good game, and I made a note of that. John probably saw that in my notes, that I thought Stinney actually played a pretty darn good game, given that it was his first NFL start. I thought he did an excellent job. And by the way, I thought overall, their O-line did a very good job in pass protection against a good Saints front.
Yeah, and a front that they had a lot of problems with, too.
In the previous two games, you're right.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we can move on here to the game number two, of course, the second
game. We obviously don't need to talk about the Bills' run game since there isn't one.
Exactly.
Although it was interesting, they did come out at the start of the third quarter and put Allen under center and run it just a little bit.
Hey, John, real quick, someone on Twitter, I was just talking about that Darrell Bevell's probably going to go to the Jaguars.
Uh-oh.
So someone said, but wait, who's going to be a new Hawk alarm? So
right. It'll be like
awesome.
James O'Shaughnessy or something.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Or Josh Oliver. I mean, that guy was.
If he could ever get healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. If he could ever get healthy. Well, Greg, this game here, do we have two high profile quarterbacks and high octane offenses that are, being led by quarterbacks who may not be in there playing their best football right now?
Yeah, it's obviously going to be a 6-3 game, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, totally. But
no one's running the ball.
Josh Allen has proven this year that if he gets in a little funk, he can
Before we go there, John, he played pretty darn well against Indianapolis.
He did.
Last week was not his best game, but it wasn't as if – see, he's reached a point, I think, and again – you never know. Yeah, certainly a quarterback in a playoff game can have a bad game. These things do happen. But I think one of the reasons the Bills play the way they play is not because if you asked Brian Daboll and gave him truth serum, would he say, oh, I never want to run the ball, it doesn't matter. I think they feel, and Adam could address this as well, I think they feel that not only have Josh's physical skills advanced, but I think they feel that he's in command of the game. And I think that's the critical part. Because as long as your quarterback's not turning the ball over, John, you can play a certain way. Now, in an ideal world, do you want to go your first 20 plays of a game and have all called passes and not have a called run until the 21st offensive snap of the game? No, no one wants to do that in an ideal world. But I think they feel that Josh now is his command of what's going on the field is such that they can put the ball and the game in his hands, and he's not going to be.
And he doesn't force anything. That I just want to add a little bit from what they told me to what Greg said. The mistakes he was making last year, not only was it accuracy, which got better from this first year, but still not where it needed to be. He didn't force anything. He's so comfortable back there. His vision is really good. He's processing obviously at a super high level. And one thing you should know, Daboll coaches him extremely hard, extremely hard. I'm not saying yelling, but he's held accountable. And it's sunk in. The kid just simply is.
But what you've told us, he wants to be held accountable.
Yes. He someone with the Bills told me this week, we're just catching up about kind of what the team looks like. Josh has taken a lot of hard coaching from him. He doesn't answer back. Some young quarterbacks might or not take the coaching. He wants to be coached hard. And he sure as hell is.
You know, I guess when we don't see the gaudy numbers and we don't see him balling out, I think of,
well, better, wow, by the way, better competition.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
John, but isn't it funny? I know what you're going to say. Isn't it funny how he's advanced to the point now where you're looking at last week's game, like he had a bad game. Yeah. I mean, that they just won. Shows you how improved he is. Yep. You know, they still won the game, you know, right.
But I think about like Aaron Rodgers, you know, he right. does every once in a while hand that ball off to a guy who strikes fear in right. defenses. And that's got to help, you know. But Mahomes, too, you know, excluding for now, I guess the injury, the concussion, but maybe the foot was a problem. But I saw in your notes, Greg, you know, you're not exactly feeling comfortable about Mr. Lucy Goosey here.
Patrick. No, he's been this way for a month. Now, again, he's so talented. I mean, we have this weekend, we have the three most talented quarterbacks in the NFL playing in Allen, Mahomes, and Rodgers.
That's true.
No specific order. I'm just, I don't want anybody to act like, you know, awesome. I'm just saying, you know, so we have the three most physically gifted quarterbacks in the NFL playing this weekend. And Brady, by the way, he's not bad either. I think he'll be okay in his career. But Mahomes, you know, Mahomes, when he came out of Texas Tech, and I've mentioned this to you guys before, and I don't remember if I've mentioned it on our live stream, so I'll just say it. I spoke to many coaches at the scouting combine the year he came out who were concerned about him because there was such an undisciplined nature to his game. They all knew about the physical talent that jumped off the film, but there was a concern just that he was very loose, that he didn't necessarily play within the structure that you ultimately need at some point in the NFL. And obviously we can look back at that now and go, ha ha ha. But the point is over the last month, he's been a little looser and undisciplined and he's missed some things. And that doesn't mean he'll do it this week. And Adam can tell us about the injury, but he's going to play.
Well, he just needs to get final clearance. I mean, he's got one step left in protocol, but he's Greg, after he hurt his left toe, did you notice him struggle a little bit?
I did.
Well, I think he struggled for the last month. So, clearly you could see him move around not as much, no question.
Okay.
You know, so, yes, he did in this particular game.
And, again, similarly, you know, probably would help if he had a guy he could rely on to hand a ball off to every once in a while. I know it's a passer and an offense, but, I mean, maybe these guys are just being asked to do a little too much. I mean, I know they're elite guys and all that. Is there anything that we could take away from what the Bills defense did last week?
No, because I think the Bills played specifically for Lamar.
That's what I thought.
And it's funny. I thought the Bills took a page out of what the Chiefs did to Lamar earlier in the season when the Chiefs just blitzed mercilessly and the Bills blitzed at a much higher percentage against Lamar than they normally do.
Yeah, that's actually where I was going with that because I saw that you spent a lot of time writing about their pass rush and their blitzing.
Yep. Well, because it that's what the tape told me to do.
Yeah. So in that regard, obviously you blitz Allen or Mahomes, you're putting yourself potentially in a bad spot, but.
Well, there's one thing that needs to be mentioned for sure. Okay. And I think I can describe it in a way that people will see it. The Chiefs have a particular personnel package and formation that's very troublesome. It's when they line up in 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers. And they put all three wide receivers to the wide side of the field, and they put Kelce to the single side. They've done that well over 100 snaps this year, which is a lot. Okay. Yeah. That was the touchdown that Kelce scored where he beat Denzel Ward, who, if you saw the play, Ward looked like a ninth grader compared to Kelce. so now it's going to be interesting what the Bills do, because when Kelce lines to the boundary, Tre'Davious White is the boundary corner. And the Bills, I don't believe, will match up man to man versus that particular formation. So that would put Tre'Davious White on Kelce in those situations.
Oh,
man. You know, it feels like Tre'Davious has been a little less impactful this year, but by not traveling, just as an aside.
Well, they obviously feel this is what they want to do. They did a number of different things that were specific to Lamar. They won't be doing those things against.
Gotcha. Mahomes. Yeah.
Good well, point. Obviously, I mean, keep them safeties back, right? And try not to give up the big play for one. I mean, that's kind of what they do all the time, right? I mean,
yeah.
Which tends.
I think they have the best safety duo in the NFL, by the way, in Poyer and Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which how much of that helps Kelce? Because the numbers he's putting up are just absolutely ridiculous.
Never seen him like this.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and this takes nothing away from Kelce, but I also think that the numbers, not the player, the player's great. That's not my point. But numbers are a function of many things. And I think the numbers are a function of the fact that they present so much speed that you cannot, you have to play deeper. The last thing any defensive coach wants to give up, and Leslie Frazier's been at this a long time, and so has Sean, the last thing they want to give up to any team are 60-yard touchdowns.
So are you going to play – okay, so if you're just – we know they're playing the Bills, but are you playing 4-deep, 3-deep? How would you do it? How would you defense them?
What I would do is I would play split safety, because to me with single high, what you do is you put such a burden on your single high safety, because if you line up in, let's say, a 2x2 set offensively and you run your two slot guys vertically, first of all, those two slot guys, you could make Hardman and Hill your slot guys. And even if you would have an underneath zone defender carry them, they're still going to run by them. And that puts your single high safety in a bind. He can't play two vertical routes on either side of him. It's just, and Mahomes, what Mahomes would do is he would manipulate the post safety to one side or the other and then throw the vertical to the other side. So I would play with two high safeties, whether it's cover 4, cover 6, which is quarter, half, or cover 2.
Do you take anything out of the performance in the first matchup here with the KC offense running all over?
Well, they won't play that way this week. We know that. That was the Tuesday night rain game. I remember getting home Tuesday night and thinking, oh, there's a game on tonight. This is weird. You know, that was just a weird game.
That was the rain
that
game.
That was the rain game.
Yeah, that was a reschedule.
That was the rescheduled game.
Right. Yes. And here's the only thing about this game that concerns me. And speaking of that first game where it rained, right now, 50% chance of rain, weather in the high 30s.
Kansas City?
Yeah, let's hope it doesn't rain. That would suck.
Yeah.
Mahomes completed 81% of his balls, 225, 2 touchdowns, only on 26 attempts.
To Kelce in the red zone. And by the way, in the red zone, the Bills play more what we call red zone 2 than any team in the league. And both those touchdowns came against red zone 2.
Ooh. How about Edwards-Helaire, Adam?
Still hasn't been cleared yet. He's close, but he's not there yet with his ankle and hip.
I guess we found out about Le'Veon Bell, what they think of him.
Well,
yeah, did.
The word that I got is from tape study, Greg, I hope you would see the same thing. Someone I really trust who did advance on the Chiefs said their timing is so off with him. The timing, the syncing it up with their zone scheme, whatever scheme they use, not there. They're just not there with him. And you didn't know that going in, it wouldn't work. It has not worked at all.
Right.
at all.
Well, he's a unique back too, you know, with that
stop and starter. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mahomes missed him this week on what should have been a touchdown on a wheel route out of the backfield. He threw it behind him, and it should have been a touchdown.
He just got added back to the injury report, that knee injury, too.
He only had a couple targets, too. Wow, yeah. I don't recall.
I thought Darrell Williams looked pretty decisive, at least.
Darrell, you know, it's funny. I wonder if Darrell Williams becomes the other Williams in this year if they get to the Super Bowl.
Oh, with Damian Williams? You know what? Yeah. He did a good job. Yeah.
Darrell Williams is the perfect guy. I need you for 2.5 games, Darrell.
Right, because no one expected what Damian Williams did in the Super Bowl last year.
Damian Williams. Yeah. Boy, could Damian catch it last year. Yeah, he did a great job out of the backfield.
So any other general thoughts in terms of the matchup here, in terms of the Bills slowing down Mahomes, assuming Mahomes is, I would think maybe probably not going to be, you know, ideal peak top optimal Mahomes, no matter what, considering how he's playing here. So what are the chances that, you know, this is a close game in the fourth quarter where, you know, maybe we don't see a ton of scoring by the Chiefs?
Here's the point I'll make, and I know this isn't a profound statement, but if the Chiefs don't have big explosive plays,
right,
I think this game will be relatively close, and I don't think the Chiefs will be putting up 35. Now, if they have big explosive plays, that changes everything, and I know that's not a brilliant statement that I just came up with something amazing, but I'm curious to see how much the Bills go four wide, okay, because all those guys are they healthy?
Well, Gabriel Davis has been out of practice.
He's got an ankle. Yeah, I won't know till tomorrow.
And wasn't Beasley added to the injury report today?
He's got an issue with his knee. I was told, John. I tried to tell you that the other day. It cannot get any worse than it is. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get. It won't heal up for weeks. He just has.
So, Adam, I know the Davis thing you don't know about, but what's your sense? I mean, are they going? Do you think they'll be limited?
When I talked to them a day ago, they seemed
didn't
to
they
say
activate Kumaro.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
right. But Isaiah McKenzie and would see more snaps, and they brought Kumaro in, but they didn't. They weren't overly concerned that Davis couldn't play. The one they were concerned about because he's part of the D tackle rotation was Vernon Butler.
Okay, because I think offensively they want to play four wide because I think that they want to make the Chiefs have to defend four wide because of the Chiefs corner situation.
Right. And, speaking of that, Breland has been cut. He's working. He feels fine. He just needs to get fully clear
right
with the concussion. And the kid Fenton, who's played a lot of times this season.
He didn't play last week.
Yeah. He's probably going to play this week.
Okay.
They haven't been all that great though, defensively lately, Greg, the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, I mean, they're a team. Spags is very selective, but very good with his pressure. They've played more snaps of zero man than any team in the league. And obviously, when I say more snaps, maybe it's 8 or 9%. It's not like they run it 50%. No one does. But he's very selective, but very effective with his pressures.
I kind of think Dawson Knox is a sleeper in this one. I mean, KC, I don't know if you've noticed on film, but they have
Sorensen is their tight end matchup. And I tell you what, that kid's a perfect example of a guy, you know, you look at him every year and you think, okay, they got to replace him. He plays every snap every week.
He does. He does. I know you like him, but they have given up 4 touchdowns.
Oh, I'm not saying that he can't be beat, John. I'm not saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. It's Adam, as you know, we love Dawson Knox. It's not easy to back him, but man.
Because they had John. Diggs and Beasley. Now, Beasley, because of his knee injury, we don't know how much he's going to be targeted. But we know that Diggs is going to dominate. And then John Brown. Where did this come from?
Well, he came on strong at the end of the season.
Yeah. Oh, he's had this knee, you know, he had a knee injury for over 2 months. Yeah. Then he had a high ankle sprain. Gabe Davis is going to take his job, by the way, and it should happen next year.
Greg, I know the Ravens really didn't blitz Allen,
which surprised me to no end.
How about that, huh?
I would have taken it to the bank that the Ravens would have blitzed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about KC? How blitz heavy are they?
Oh, no, they'll blitz. I just said, they'll be selective. Yeah. They're not going to just go, you know, they're what they do. Here's what one key to this game, in my view. Okay. Josh Allen has thrown 27 touchdown passes versus man coverage and 10 versus zone. Okay. 4 interceptions versus man, 6 versus zone. What KC does as well as any team in the league is disguise with late movement to zone. Okay. You're going to see that. Josh Allen is going to have to decipher disguise and late movement to zone coverage. And we'll see. Josh has done a better job with it as the season has progressed, but you will see that in this game. And Tyrann Mathieu allows the Chiefs to do an awful lot of things in terms of disguise because he is such a smart, aware defender.
Anything else here, Adam? Anything else jump out in terms of needing to cover with either team here? I'll give a quick review in terms of what I think. And again, last week was not great for fantasy analysis, and I don't know if this week will be, but I kind of
I am concerned. I mean, I'm glad it's not going to be windy, but you always get concerned with the rain. We saw how ugly that first game was for Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is, John, he's improved so greatly this season. If Mahomes is himself, and you don't expect, but let me ask Greg this question, because I talked to the Bills about their offensive line this week. They feel pretty good. They don't have the greatest offensive line and talent, but they do a good job of protecting them. I still think this is a fairly high-scoring game.
I think if weather's not an issue, it could be. Believe me, I'm a terrible procrastinator just because I always feel like there's six or seven variables that I could I don't know where to go with it. But yeah. I just have a weird feeling it won't be as high scoring as many would have thought 3 or 4 weeks ago. And by that, I don't mean, and I joked when I said it'll be 6-3. I don't think it's going to be 13-10.
No, but I get your point. Because Mahomes is not as sharp as he was, right, Greg?
I mean, I think this could be a 23-20 kind of game.
I could see it, because if Mahomes was Mahomes, you know, we don't know what this toe injury, and he replayed it off, but, you know, he didn't look the same after it. And Greg just told us for a while now he's not quite as sharp.
Yeah,
I always feel a little bit better about quarterbacks, too, when they have a little bit of balance here. I mean, the other game, you know, Tom's handing the ball off last week, and Aaron and all that good running backs.
And by the way, the Bills could hand it off more this week. You just don't know. I mean, you know,
I'd be that one would surprise me.
I don't mean Adam, that they're going to feature the run.
No,
but they did go, as I mentioned, the first 20 plays were all called passes. That's an awful lot.
Yeah. Well, again, it's the old, we talked about it last week. I mean, we know you want to keep Mahomes off on the sideline and all that.
I mean, John, this is all you need to know. The running backs had 9 freaking carries last week.
Yeah. No, cool. I actually do like Singletary to catch like 3-4 balls.
Well, they do throw it to him because they go empty, and they throw it to him on occasion.
And nice design ones too, like wheel routes and things like that. Dawson Knox would be a sleeper for me for the Bills. Singletary, you know, 70 total yards, 3-4 grabs. For KC, I mean, Kelsey will get his. What about Sammy Watkins, Adam? We should touch on.
Still questionable with his calf.
Yeah.
I thought he was like at least trending toward playing.
He's getting close. It's the closest he's been in the 3 weeks, but he's
trending toward playing week one next year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
For somebody else. But you saw they split the snaps last week between Coleman and Robinson.
Trying to figure out the secondary chief receivers has not been easy this year either, by the way.
Oh, right. Because right when you think Coleman is ready, Mecole Hardman's ready to go, he doesn't do anything.
Yeah. And then guy
Byron Pringle? I liked him coming out of Kansas State.
Yeah, Pringle was out there, had a couple grabs last week. Not much else here. I think we could probably wrap it up here. We went in on a lot of games here, spent a lot more time than I thought, honestly. So
that's good.
I will. We will not have the DFS live stream, but I'll do my normal DFS and player props, and I'm updating all the rankings. So if you're inclined to check in, obviously just check everything out here at Fantasy Points, and we'll all watch some football on Sunday, and hopefully we'll get some stuff right. So thanks, guys. Not going to be on next week, but we'll do some sort of Super Bowl.
Thing. That'd be awesome. Yeah,
Super Bowl thing.
Yeah, we'll do a thing. Yeah,
this is going to be my first year, and I don't know how many years not going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, same here, man. It sucks. Yeah.
How about no combine? That really.
I know. That's no my favorite
Senior Bowl,
week of the
no
year.
No Senior Bowl.
The combine's my favorite week of the year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Because I get to see, you know, Kaplan just down to keel is one after the other.
I like when I see Adam drunk at like 3 a.m. at like hotel lobbies when he's all liquored up.
You did see me. Okay.
You did.
A couple of years ago, he saw me at 3 a.m. and I was definitely, I drank once or two or three times a year, maybe.
Yeah. Do you know who I was talking to right when you came? I was talking to Frank Gore.
Oh, was he there? Frank Gore was there?
He was just hanging out in the lobby. Yeah. Right. That's why we love it. We can name drop.
There you go. And you're the ultimate name dropper.
I am. Jim Cramer told me to never name drop, and I took that. That'll wrap it up here, guys. For Adam Kaplan, I'm John Hansen, the Fantasy Points live stream here. Good luck if you're playing fantasy, and enjoy the games.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform. And come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.